She hawked back and spat into the dust. It must have a brain of some sort, even when it's out of its human shape, because it heard me and ran. But before I lost sight of it round the wall, it turned and looked back at me, as if marking me. Well, let it. I have no more shot for the gun, and won't unless a trader happens to have some, but I have this. She lifted her skirts to the knee, and we saw a butcher's knife in a rawhide scabbard strapped to the outside of her calf. So let it come for Everlyn, daughter of Rosanna. You said you saw something else, I said. She considered me with her bright black eyes, then turned to the women. Clemmy, Brianna, serve out. Fortuna, you will say grace, and be sure to ask God forgiveness for your blasphemy, and thank him that your heart still beats. Everlyn grasped me above the elbow, drew me through the gate, and walked me to the well where the unfortunate Fortuna had been attacked. There we were alone. I saw its prick, she said in a low voice. Long and curved like a scimitar, twitching and full of the black stuff that serves it for blood. Serves it for blood in that shape, Eniro. It meant to kill her, as it had Dolores, aye, right enough, but it meant to fuck her, too. It meant to fuck her as she died. Jamie and I ate with them. Fortuna even ate a little, and then we mounted up for town. But before we left, Everlyn stood by my horse and spoke to me again. When your business here is done, come and see me again. I have something for you. What might that be, Si? She shook her head. Now is not the time, but when the filthy thing is dead, come here. She took my hand, raised it to her lips, and kissed it. I know who you are, for does not your mother live in your face? Come to me, Roland, son of Gabriel. Fail not. Then she stepped away before I could say another word and glided in through the gate. The Debaria High Street was wide and paved, although the pavement was crumbling away to the hardpan beneath in many places and would be entirely gone before too many years passed. There was a good deal of commerce, and judging from the sound coming from the saloons, they were doing a fine business. We only saw a few horses and mules tied to the hitching posts, though. In that part of the world, livestock was for trading and eating, not for riding. A woman coming out of the mercantile with a basket over her arm saw us and stared. She ran back in, and several more people came out. By the time we reached the high sheriff's office, a little wooden building attached to the much larger stone-built town jail, the streets were lined with spectators on both sides. "Have ye come to kill the skin man?" the lady with the basket called. Those two don't look old enough to kill a bottle of rye, a man standing in front of the Cheery Fellow's saloon and cafe called back. There was general laughter and murmurs of agreement at this sally. Town looks busy enough now, Jamie said, dismounting and looking back at the 40 or 50 men and women who'd come away from their business and their pleasure to have a gleep at us. It'll be different after sundown, I said. That's when such creatures as this skin man do their marauding. Or so Vanet says. We went into the office. Hugh Peavy was a big-bellied man with long white hair and a droopy mustache. His face was deeply lined and careworn. He saw our guns and looked relieved. He noted our beardless faces and looked less so. He wiped off the nib of the pen he had been writing with, stood up, and held out his hand. No forehead knocking for this fellow. After we had shaken with him and introduced ourselves, he said, I don't mean to belittle you, young fellows, but I was hoping to see Stephen Deschain himself, and perhaps Peter McVries. McVries died 3 years ago, I said. Peavy looked shocked. Do you say so? For he was a trig hand with a gun. Very trig. He died of a fever, very likely induced by poison, but this was nothing the high sheriff of the Debaria Outers needed to know. As for Stephen, he's otherwise occupied, and so he sent me, I am his son.
Yar, Yar, I've heard your name and a bit of your exploits in Magus, for we get some news even out here. There's the Ditda wire and even a Jingjang.
He pointed to a contraption on the wall. Written on the brick beneath it was a sign reading, Do not touch without permission. It used to go all the way to Gilead, but these days only to Sallywood in the south, the Jefferson spread to the north, and the village in the foothills. Little Debaria, it's called. We even have a few street lamps that still work, not gas or kerosene, but real spark lights, don't you see? Town folk think such'll keep the creature away. He sighed. I am less confident. This is a bad business, young fellows. Sometimes I feel the world has come loose of its moorings.
It has, I said. But what comes loose can be tied tight again, Sheriff.
If you say so.
He cleared his throat,